Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now we are back with another club update. This time, unfortunately, not great news for Swansea, but if it is Swansea, you know we're talking to Gitte Huelen, of course, from the Jackass and the Carmarthen Journal. Pleased to have you back. Do wish it was under better circumstances. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that Gwendolyn was quietly on the hot seat. He is now no longer manager of Swansea. We'll get to his replacement in a minute, but just talk to me a little bit about how you feel about Gwendolyn being let go, especially right now, after what many deemed were two of his best performances.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm pretty ashamed of the way he's been sacked. It's really lacking in any kind of class the way the club has behaved in dealing with this. You're right, we were really way before the trend in saying that Gwendolyn could be under pressure quite a few weeks ago. And actually, since we started saying that, the story's just built and built, and it's been quite obvious for a while now that Gwendolyn's days are numbered and that the club were actively looking to get a replacement. But the way it's all been handled, I mean, Hugh Jenkins has been the Swansea chairman. He's been about as subtle as a fox in a chicken coop in looking for his replacement. He's just been spotted here, there, and everywhere. Look at speaking to different managers. So Gwendolyn's known really that his days are numbered. And like he said, since he's really started coming under such heavy pressure, the Swans have started playing well. We were very good against Manchester City. We were very good against Liverpool at the weekend, at least for the first half. With the timing of it coming straight after those good performances, and the disrespectful way it was handled, it's an extremely unsavoury sacking, topped off by the fact that Gwendolyn was incredibly sacked on his birthday, which is about the most undignifying thing that you can do to a man who is, at the end of it all, a gentleman, even if you don't think like I do. I don't think he was the right man for the club, but I certainly think he deserved to be treated with far more respect and far more dignity than he was treated today.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was his birthday. That does make it all the worse. Mentioned that you had been scouting around for a new manager for a while. It ends up being Bob Bradley, former U.S. men's coach. Obviously had a very exciting end to the season in Ligue 2 last year that a lot of people were aware of because what they needed like 5 goals to get promoted and got 4 of them, something along those lines. I, as a U.S. Men's national team, I followed them. Not really sure this is the best appointment, and it feels like that is kind of the feeling amongst Swansea fans as well.
Well, I was looking forward to getting your opinion on this, actually, as an American, because, you know, my take on it all is we all saw what Bob Bradley did with the U.S. men's national team. I think you'll agree he did move the game on quite substantially in his time in charge. You know, the 2010 World Cup especially, they had a very good team. You know, you can't say it any other way. They really did play well in that World Cup and were great to watch. But as far as I can see, that's really his high point. I mean, I remember when he was at Egypt, he famously missed out on the 2014 World Cup, which is something that Egypt team certainly shouldn't have done. They definitely should have qualified, and he was hounded out of the country. It got extremely nasty, the response to him. And since then, I mean, he's been to Norway, he's had sort of a modicum of success there. But let's not forget, this is the country where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had success. And he certainly proved when he came to this country that he was a useless manager. Also, Ronnie Dyla did very well there. He proved when he went to Celtic that he is a terrible manager, possibly the worst manager I've ever come across. So really, I think I could probably win the Norwegian Premier League. It's not really a standard against which you can measure a prospective Premier League manager. And now he's been in Ligue 2. I don't think he's had a great start this season with Le Havre. You may be surprised to know that I watch quite a bit of Ligue 2 football because my second club really is Strasbourg, who just promoted. It's not a very good league. The standard of football is terrible. It is the equivalent of appointing a manager for a Premier League club from, say, a League 1 or League 2 club, which is not something you see very often at all. It's not really a wise move in most cases. So that's what we've basically done in my eyes, is we've promoted a manager from League 1 or League 2 level to take over a Premier League team where things are not going particularly well at the moment. I'd love to have your take, because you obviously saw more of him as the US men's national team coach. I don't know if you've followed him any closer since he's left that position.
Yeah, if you want to know the easy breakdown, he falls in the man management category more than the tactics category, and he can get players to play far above their level, which is something that is very valuable. Obviously, Harry Redknapp did it to an extent at Tottenham, with Van der Vaart, who obviously had been struggling abroad. He brought up Defoe at multiple clubs. Bradley is amazing. He gets his players to put everything they have into every match, which unfortunately stands out in the professional game, where a lot of people can be lackadaisical at times. So as far as that goes, he gets the players to play for him and tends to be very close with them, although you've already had that with Gary Monk. Maybe not the lack of tactical nous, but like being close with the players, because he was one up until he was manager. I really, really hate to say this, but it was my first thought when somebody asked me this earlier in the day. And I said, Tim Sherwood without the ego.
Oh, please, no.
Exactly. Like, the ego isn't there. So he won't say things publicly and then be awful. I think there is more tactical know-how there than Sherwood had. But that style of, like, he'll put his arm around a player, which I hate that cliche, but I'm sorry. It's just what it is. He gets everyone to elevate their play style, or he gets everyone to elevate their level, but doesn't really change things. He will largely let the player sort things out on the pitch itself instead of dictating what they should be doing. It's not like AVB and his dossiers of information. Like, he's largely just going to rub of the green kind of stuff. But anyway, yeah, I was very surprised by this, and I saw you were on Twitter as well, because reportedly you spoke with who was a highly sought-after coaching prospect that was just let go at a very weird time of the year, so wasn't able to land a big job in Marcelino.
I said it weeks ago, really not expecting anything, you know, to come of it, that I thought Marcelino would have been a brilliant, just the perfect addition when you look at everyone who's available at the time and what Swansea needs. And apparently, Hugh Jenkins, the Swansea chairman, did interview him for the job, but was concerned by the fact that he didn't speak English, which I know has been a major problem for Spurs with Mauricio Pochettino. Yeah. You know, I just don't think it's a prerequisite in the modern era. We have, you know, great interpreters who can help managers along with that. I think when you've got someone like Marcelino who plays a style of football which would really suit Swansea.
And he's good with youth. He's good with tactics. He's finished in the top six every year he's been at Villarreal in La Liga, which I don't want to go out on a limb here, but I think La Liga is better than Ligue 2.
It's better than the Premier League, considerably better than the Premier League. So, and Villarreal is, you know, I know we're used to seeing them in the Champions League and Europa League, but they're still a small club, really. You know, they're not a very big club. I know they're used to overachieving, but still, it's quite a feat to get them overachieving the way he did again. I just don't understand the thinking behind it. Well, I do understand the thinking behind it. I mean, you said there that Bob Bradley's a good man manager and that he really gets the best out of his players. And of course, one of the players who's worked very, very closely with him in the past is Landon Donovan, who is very, very closely connected with the takeover at Swansea.
Mm.
It's natural to put one and one together and get two and say, this is Landon Donovan's appointment. He's the one that's said that Bob Bradley is the guy to go for here. I don't know where that leaves Hugh Jenkins, who is meant to be in charge of all footballing decisions, but we certainly get the feeling that Bob Bradley is Landon Donovan's man. And there are even rumours that Donovan could be joining the coaching staff in Swansea, if not immediately, then sooner rather than later. And if I'm honest, that would make me feel a little better about it. I do quite like Landon Donovan. I do think he speaks quite a lot of sense when he opens his mouth. But when you talk there about a man manager, there is an element of that. I think we do. I think the players do need a bit more man management. But I always got the impression watching Bradley's side that they were hardworking, that they were
certainly
organized to an extent, in a pretty basic way, in the sense that there was nothing overly complicated about formations or anything like that. But they were always extremely pumped up. Now, you can if you're a man manager, then and you can pump a team up for an international tournament or a qualifier or something like that, that's great. If you have to do it for 38 games a season, that may be why Bob Bradley has not quite managed to do it. Why he may not have been given that opportunity at club level, because you can pump a team up. I mean, Chris Coleman's shown it. He pumped up that Welsh team for the Euros. He's pumped them up for every single game he's been in charge for the last two years or more. But I think he'd struggle to get the same impact if he was asked to do that at club level for an entire season. There is a difference between international management and club management. And I think Bob Bradley, there is a risk that Bob Bradley is an international manager and not exactly suited to club management, and that's particularly worrying when he's being thrown in at the deep end in one of the best leagues in the world.
You know what I've just thought of is that I didn't realize how far down the table you were, because I've watched a fair few of your games and you haven't looked awful, but you did have an amazingly difficult start to the season in terms of opponents. But when you think about all the managers that are thought of as the ones that are brought in to stabilize clubs midway through the season, like you had Allardyce, who we maybe shouldn't mention for a whole lot of other reasons right now, but Redknapp or Pulis, these are guys with strong defensive backgrounds that are able to get performances out of their teams. It's not elegant, but it's effective. While I am not thrilled by this appointment, Bradley does fit that description.
Hmm. Hopefully he can have a similar impact. He's more of a footballing. He'll give the players a bit more freedom to express themselves than a few of the other names there that you mentioned. I think the players do need a bit of encouragement to play their own game.
Mm.
There's no doubt about that.
Also, stop playing Naughton on the left. We tried it; it was awful.
Yeah, we've been saying it for ages. We've actually got two decent left backs, but Naughton is playing left back at the moment, and that's one of the reasons. I will say this: that is one of the reasons that Guidolin is going. He's not a good fit. We've said this before. He's not. I'm not actually angry about the fact that Guidolin's been sacked. He's not a good fit to the club. As much of a nice guy as he is, and yes, he kept us up last season by hook or by crook, but he doesn't really fit in the club in any way, if I'm honest. He is a bit of a square peg in a round hole. The anger really from Swansea fans is the way that he's been sacked and the lack of class around it. We feel really that he deserved to be treated a little bit better than that. Mm. Especially, like I said, sacking on his birthday. It's the cherry on top of the public relations nightmare.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and you know, Barcelona used to say that they were more than just a club. And when everybody was talking about all the Swansea Lona stuff, a lot of people were talking about it on the pitch, but I felt it was more of like a cultural thing. Like, you and I have talked before about how they played at like the local, or they showered and stuff at the local gym and stuff. It felt like it was bigger than just a football club. And unfortunately, both of those clubs that I just mentioned feel like they are now kind of just that, football clubs. You talked about getting the players in the right position and how maybe that was a reason why we've seen Guidolin out the exit door. So how about the ownership and the management that failed to get any players that could be in those positions? Over-talked about is the lack of replacements of IU and Williams, but it is nonetheless a huge problem in your squad that would have seen it be an uphill battle regardless of who was managing the club. Do you think there will be any repercussions for anyone further up the food chain, or do you think this was just Guidolin's fault?
It'll be interesting to see what Hugh Jenkins' future is now, because this does not look like his appointment in Bob Bradley. He seems to have been the one who gave Guidolin the contract as well. He was given the 2-year contract before the American owners took over, and he's lasted, for way less than a quarter of the way through the season. I think there are questions to be asked about Hugh Jenkins' future at the club. There are a lot of fans who aren't actually happy with his most recent transfer activity over the last 2 years, something like that. There are quite a few fans who question whether or not the business has been good enough. It certainly wasn't good enough over the summer. But I actually, one of the reasons I fear for Bob Bradley is that he could very well be seen as the face of the American ownership, and that American ownership is deeply unpopular already. It was unpopular before we even got started. Nobody wanted the takeover. We wanted the old board to stay in place. So they were starting really from a difficult position. But this is what they've done since taking over the club has really just it's left people disenchanted and quite angry at what's happened. People do feel like their club has been taken away from them. I fear that if Bob Bradley doesn't hit the ground running, I think you're going to see people turn on him rather than the board, which may or may not be fair. We'll see because
that's what just happened with Guidolin, is the issues are north of him.
But in fairness, I mean, people just looked at Guidolin and said, well, he's not the right guy. But the anger was still directed at the people upstairs. The fans never got angry with Guidolin, if I'm honest. They never got angry with Guidolin. As frustrating as he was, you can't really blame a guy for being the wrong man at the wrong time. He was the one that, he's not going to turn down that job. It was a mistake to give him the job. And like you said, it was those further up the food chain who gave him that job, and they should be held accountable because it was a poor decision. And the players that he received over the summer, like you said, they were a mixed bag. Many of them weren't good enough. And certainly the sum of the ins doesn't compensate for the outs that have taken place. So make no mistake about it. People are the majority of the anger, if not all of the anger, is directed at Hugh Jenkins, which is something which has never happened before until the last few months. But the fans are angry with Hugh Jenkins now, which didn't seem like a possibility before. And the American ownership. That's where the anger is directed. People are sympathetic with Guidolin, especially considering the way he's been treated today.
Yeah. Obviously, what this does do is, with Bradley, with the potential addition of Landon Donovan to the coaching staff long-term, which you mentioned, this would open up a lot more of the American market. There is a Swansea bar in New York. This would obviously open up that market a whole lot as long as you stay in the Premier League. But you already mentioned that you feel like you're losing parts of the club. I know there was some resistance at Tottenham just when we brought in Clint Dempsey. A lot of the British fans concerned that the Americans were going to take over instead of viewing it more as all of a sudden there's a lot more fans of the team I love. Which side of the fence do you think the fan base would sway there?
I think there is. It's an interesting point to raise that. I think in this country, there is a pretty unfair, if I'm honest, stigma attached to anything American when it comes to football in this country. Any kind of American investment is bound to be bad. I mean, even like the fact that the investment was American, I think, did make it worse, if I'm honest, when they took over in the summer. Not in my eyes, but generally, I do feel like people look at Americans and say, they don't know anything about football. They're here to make a lot of money, and there are a lot of negative stereotypes. I've worked it out in the States, and I know that there are plenty of extremely knowledgeable American soccer fans, far more knowledgeable than ones in this country in many cases. I think people look at when anything is Americanized in this country, whether it's a takeover or the purchase of an American player, I think people do sense, just get a little bit skeptical and say, this is done with the American market in mind. You know, this is to appeal to American supporters. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case here. That's definitely something that they have. The new owners have talked about, you know, expanding the Swans' presence in the American market. I hope that's not their only motivation. I desperately hope that's not their main motivation, because, like you said, if a club is not in the Premier League, it's pretty valueless in the American market. Americans are only interested in the Premier League. There is no interest in America in what happens lower down the table, generally speaking. That goes for all world markets. That goes for the Far East. That goes for the Middle East. That goes for across Europe and everywhere in the world. People want to see Premier League football. So, there is a danger sometimes that if you do make decisions for market reasons more than footballing reasons, it won't work out, because the market strategy does not work without the football strategy first working. Hopefully. And also, of course, as we pointed out, a lot of the American fans who do like Swansea, and there is quite a substantial American support for a club our size, a lot of them, of course, started watching us because we were good to watch, because we played good football, because we were a very likable club. If you lose those attributes, then suddenly it's not very attractive if you're trying to attract new fans. So they should bear that in mind.
Certainly. And just a random thought I just had while you were mentioning that, Shahid Khan bought Fulham, where they had Clint Dempsey, to try to do this exact thing.
Yes.
What happened in his first year of ownership?
There was chaotic managerial appointments and
they were relegated.
Yeah. Relegated.
Yeah, so hopefully that's not the case here. Wrapping up quickly, because I know you have to go do the Jackcast, which we will be posting all over our Twitter tomorrow. For one positive note in all of this, do you think that this new ownership will be willing to help invest in January? And how many buys do you think you would need to really improve this squad?
Oh, January is a long way away. They need to invest. The squad still isn't up to scratch, even with the improvements that we've seen in recent weeks. And hopefully, with Bob Bradley being brought in, they'll back their manager because they need him to be a success. What I'm hoping is that the recent upturns in performances can continue under Bob Bradley, that he won't sort of upset the apple cart too much, and that he'll just try and keep things simple and just keep things ticking along. That's my hope, but that's dependent on quite a lot of factors. January seems a long way away, and we've only got 4 points coming into October, which I'm pretty confident is the lowest we've ever had at this stage of the Premier League season. So, they need to be big changes before then. But like you said, we've got better fixtures coming up ahead after the Arsenal match. And we do tend to do well at the Emirates as well. We tend to do remarkably well at the Emirates. So hopefully we can continue our good form there. And hopefully after that, then we'll have a few simpler fixtures, which hopefully they absolutely have to yield points, or we'll get cut adrift.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out today in what I'm sure is a very busy one for you. But why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me personally at GetDothLlewellyn on Twitter. But if you want to catch up on the Jackcast, which I think will be well worth listening to this week, it's at the Jackcast on Twitter.
Yeah, and our mutual friend Scott will be reappearing to go on there. So be sure to tune in there. Thank you so much, Gitto, for coming on, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.